Possibly.
Oh my word, interwebs and Bryce Bacon. This is the moment you've been waiting for. I wish we could say that we did this on purpose to start the week after WrestleMania, but that'd be a lie. Ladies and gentlemen, needless to say, and regardless of what I just said, we are back to podcast for your ear holes. This is Big Splash WrestleCast. I am Steve Fontana.
And I am Mike Pizzo.
That's right.
We're back.
We are here.
We are.
Hopefully to stay.
Yes, please.
hopefully to stay.
Hopefully.
For those of you who never listened to us before, we are a wrestling-centric podcast. We talk mostly about WWE, sometimes just about the art of wrestling in general, and sometimes we briefly talk about TNA, but... let's get on with it. We start our podcast with some news. Mm-hmm. Of course, the big news is that WrestleMania just happened on Sunday. Pretty good event.
We'll discuss it.
We'll discuss it in length. Of course, the big match was John Cena versus The Rock, and there's news coming in that The Rock may have signed another contract for another year.
He signed for another year, which could be a push.
It could be what he did. He announced on Raw that he was going after the title. So we'll also talk about Raw.
Yep.
When we have a chance.
Yep. There's a possible reason because of what happened on Raw, we may be seeing something at WrestleMania with a match with The Rock and a special someone who returned on Raw this past Monday as well.
All right. There are rumors going around. It's not really news. It's more of a rumor. That, next WrestleMania might see Brock Lesnar versus The Rock for the mm-hmm. title.
Yep.
Steve Austin versus CM Punk and Cena versus The Undertaker. So,
If
John Cena is going to verse The Undertaker next year, John Cena needs to win every single match at every pay-per-view leading up to that. Like, from now until then. And now that Brock Lesnar threw him 40 feet, which we'll talk about later. I don't see that really happening.
Listen, I'm pretty interested, just the whole entire Austin thing, because, I know that Austin, he says he would only come back for one match, and that would be it. And does CM Punk really represent the guy he would want to face?
Yes. That's the money match. Unless you're going to do Austin and The Rock, which you're not going to want to do because you can't have two guys that... don't wrestle every day, wrestle each other, it's going to be a disaster. As we saw from Rock's hip toss that he took from John Cena at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
He jumped about maybe a half inch off the ground, and Cena was nowhere near him.
Yeah.
And then he did a front flip, and Cena barely touched him. So that was a little bit of a botch. But
you're right.
Del Rio is advertised to be on SmackDown for the month of May, mm-hmm. except in Mexico, which is weird.
Really?
He's not going to be in Mexico.
Okay. I've been having a problem with this for a while, and I think we've probably discussed it before. I don't see anything in Del Rio.
I do. He's got charisma, and he could hold his own in the wrestling ring.
I just think he's bland. Okay. He's got the look, but he doesn't have the, mentality.
Well, that's what was very similar, similar words were spoken about Sheamus. Where he was one-dimensional. Then he did a face, turned face and things different. Del Rio, they need heels right now, so he's probably going to be heel for a little while. But once he makes his face turn and all that stuff, then he'll be back to normal. Then you'll start to see it. Jericho is going to be on tour with Fozzy. This is an interesting one.
Okay.
From June 6th to the 11th.
Okay.
WWE is touring. Fozzy is going to be in the UK.
Yeah.
WWE is Raw is touring Spain at the same time.
Okay.
So Jericho won't be on that tour.
Uh-huh.
The WWE Super Show on the 16th and the No Way Out pay per view on the 17th are also shows that he's going to. It's not in the same span, but he's going to be missing that apparently. But he is scheduled to be back up on the 18th. So it looks like No Way Out is going to be without Jericho in June, which really all things can change.
Yeah.
They could always.
He's a huge metal guy, so we know that.
Well, he's the lead singer of Fozzy, so
yeah.
He's a good band.
Yeah.
The fake Vince McMahon Twitter account, which is a Cranky Vince at Cranky Vince. If you don't follow, it's very, very funny. Apparently knows this stuff because the writers, the creative team, was not invited to the post-WrestleMania party this year, and they were apparently very pissed off. So here's just a couple of tweets from the fake Vince McMahon.
This was done
Twitter.
By the wrestling team, or this was the writing team. This was like their idea.
No. Cranky Vince is a completely separate entity. Yeah. Somebody at their house made this account.
Oh, okay.
To make light of Vince McMahon.
Okay.
And so this was, and somehow that maybe this is an insight that this person might actually be tied with the business, but whatever. It says eavesdropping on writers who are bitching about being barred from post WrestleMania company wide party. The virgins are a buzzkill. Another one, and fuck these disposable writers for being for bitching about it's all censored, so I'm trying to fill in the blanks here.
Bitching about
my
one.
Goddamn WrestleMania after party, eat me, then go fuck yourselves, fuck you. This of course is not Vince McMahon, but is a parody. But it's funny because there was rumors that the company was having issues with their writers being upset about this.
All right.
Let's see. I'm going to open up that Rock one again. I want to see. Brock Lesnar, of course, returned on Monday, and apparently he signed for anywhere between 30 to 45 appearances for 1 year.
Uh-huh.
And this includes WrestleMania next year.
The price was not the issue. It was all about the appearances.
Right, it was about appearances, which makes sense because a lot of the reason why he left wrestling to begin with was for his family and so that he could compete. Like in real stuff. So why would he give up competing? Well, he can't compete in real stuff, fighting and all that stuff. But why would he give up his family? So, makes sense.
Yeah.
Scott Steiner is going nuts on TNA. I don't know why.
He's not used.
I'm completely out of the loop on this one. Doesn't matter. I don't watch TNA. I won't watch TNA. I'm just not a fan of TNA. He went off on Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan's apparently a face again.
Yes,
and now
Hulk
he's the GM.
Hogan, no, he's now the GM
on
TNA.
GM.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, whatever.
They're killing it. And Sting is, he got re-signed. So he's back for, I think, another 2 years.
Mm.
So, I'm not seeing anything from TNA right now.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
The women's division?
Mm-hmm.
About that, I mean nothing.
Yes, remember that you have a microphone and it needs to be at your face.
Oh yeah, sorry remember about that. Yes.
Okay, so that's pretty much the news, that came out this week. Let's look at.
Well, since we've been gone for so long, I think we should do before we talk about what we thought of WrestleMania. We should talk about the build up towards WrestleMania. Like, what do we think of the build up? Since Royal Rumble on. Okay, we know Sheamus won.
Okay, all right. Okay, this is what we'll do. We'll go down the card.
Okay.
We'll go down the WrestleMania card and we'll talk about build up to the matches.
That's fine.
All right. We had the dark match, which was the tag match that actually saw, who was it, Gabriel get hurt?
Gabriel and Tyson Kidd versus the Usos versus Epico and Primo.
Right. And I actually don't know who won that. I didn't see it.
Epico
at all.
And Primo.
I figured as much. And somebody got hurt in that. Uh-huh. There was no build up. It was just tag team.
Just a match.
A tag match, dark match.
Which, amazing that they're killing the tag team division. Just saying it.
Whatever. We'll see. Yeah. By the way, Money in the Bank, not.
Completely off.
At WrestleMania
no.
at all.
And the reason.
Apparently, they might have one at SummerSlam.
Yes.
Which makes no sense because it has its own pay-per-view.
Yeah, no, but you know the reason why, right?
No, why?
Oh, okay. Well, because when Wade Barrett got hurt that night, and they got the mess up with the shoulder when he got hurt.
He was
supposed to win Money in the Bank. So now they're holding it off to SummerSlam when Wade Barrett comes back. So then he can win.
Why have the whatever? Okay.
They want Wade Barrett to win.
The first
match
of WrestleMania was one of my hotly anticipated matches. I was waiting for this match since last year when it was a dark match.
Yeah.
Was Sheamus versus Daniel Bryan for the World Heavyweight title and ended in 16 seconds.
16. Yes. They were hoping that it would end in 8. Less than 8 because they were trying to set the record for the quickest match at WrestleMania. First off, let me just point that out. Okay. That's one. Two, I love the crowd doing the yes chant.
Okay.
Let me just let you know.
So the build up to the match, we all Bryan's a heel. He's been treating AJ like crap.
Yes.
Sheamus won the Royal Rumble, picked Daniel Bryan, so Daniel Bryan was getting a lot of lucky wins, lucky title defenses and stuff like that.
Yep.
And when he went to do his pompous kiss of AJ on the cheek, boom, bro kick, it was over.
Yep.
I have a sneaking suspicion that this was Daniel Bryan's idea. I had a sneaking suspicion that he said, what if you just demolish me within seconds? Because Daniel Bryan's he's a company guy. He knows how to tell a story, and he knows that it's going to get him over. He knows that it's going to get Sheamus over, which it did, but in the wrong way. People were booing the hell out of Sheamus the next night on Raw.
Yes.
But that's not Sheamus' fault. He did what he was told. But anyway, it was a non-match. But, you know, whatever. Sheamus had his WrestleMania moment.
It was shocking.
It was interesting. Yeah, it was shocking. It was shocking. The other thing that was shocking was the ending to Kane versus Randy Orton. Because the two of them had a formulaic match, and I did not see Kane winning this match. The lead up to the match was Kane attacking Randy Orton for no reason, then Randy Orton attacking Kane for no reason. Kane apparently said something about last year or 2 years ago, Orton did something. I don't know. Whatever it was. It was not important. But the two guys were on the card. Randy Orton's not at 100%. Kane is kind of thrown in the mix. So they had a match. And the finish was just, I thought Randy Orton hurt himself because it looked pretty nasty, but it was a pretty cool top rope choke slam.
I mean, I thought the finish was pretty cool.
First
off, going from Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, okay, to Kane and Orton was a complete contrast because of the fact that we were expecting a match from Sheamus
right.
and Daniel Bryan. And we didn't get it, and we weren't really expecting a match between Kane and Randy Orton, and they put out a match.
Okay, well, I was expecting a Kane and Randy Orton to have a match. I was expecting them to go on first to get the crowd warmed up, but whatever. What I wasn't expecting to be a match was Big Show versus Cody Rhodes, because Cody Rhodes was spending all the build-up to the match saying how Big Show is an embarrassment at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. So I was fully expecting Big Show to embarrass him with just a punch on the opening bell, just like Sheamus ended Bryan. Just knock him right out, pin him, and there you go. There's your embarrassing moment. Big Show's great moment. And Cody Rhodes now. But they had a decent match.
I actually have to admit, I thought that this was one of the boring matches of the night.
It wasn't the most exciting thing. No, it wasn't. But it was crisp. They had a good pace.
There was one botch.
Barely, but okay.
Well, the spear.
Oh yeah, but it's still Cody Rhodes did the right thing by selling it. I mean, he got hit right in the crotch.
Yeah.
But Big Show, of course, doesn't actually spear you. So the fact that it was botched, but it really wasn't botched.
Yeah, I know.
Either way, he got speared, and that was what was going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. And then boom, the big punch, and that was it.
Yeah.
Big Show having the IC title is weird, but whatever. I don't really. As long as he's happy,
it's just something to throw on his career list.
It's fine.
I think.
I'm happy if he's happy. So at this point, I think we're only an hour into the show.
Yes.
And then we get our, and it's a 4-hour show. Mm-hmm. So now I know for a fact three matches are getting 40 minutes, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Beth Phoenix, Eve Torres.
That was the next match.
Yeah, versus Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos.
Yeah.
Maria Menounos got a skid mark on her pants.
Which she said was Eve's.
It was Eve's makeup. But still, my girlfriend was watching it and said it looks like she crapped her pants, but it was the makeup.
Yeah.
It was stupid. It was pretty bad.
And then we get the quote unquote match of the night.
One of the matches of the night.
Yeah.
This to me, I DVR'd the event because I had a prior engagement, and I was watching this in bed, and I kept waking Lane up because I kept just saying, "Holy shit, what?" What is going? Holy shit! Like, I could not believe that they could recreate the drama from last year's match with the near falls and all that stuff, and yet it be completely different. Like, just every near fall would just felt different. It felt like it had something else behind it. And these guys know each other so well. This is a little industry trick. When you're being taught, you know, wrestling and stuff, and you're training. One of the things that they tell you to do is always look at the ref making the count. Keep your eye, you know, that's why the ref is always at the head so that you could see his hand, so you could kick out just in time. But with Shawn Michaels as the referee and the three of them knowing each other so well, they never looked at Shawn. They, most of the time, Taker and Triple H had their eyes closed when Shawn was tapping and it was counting. And that was, I was blown away by the chemistry those three had in that ring. The story they told, and of course the embrace at the end. Taker, of course, goes 20-0. It was a fantastically orchestrated. It was like, honestly, when you're training for wrestling and they tell you that wrestling is an art and wrestling is a dance and wrestling is a performance and it's about telling a story in the ring, that is what they mean. This is the story that they mean that every match should tell. It's you have to, regardless of what the buildup is, what's happening in the ring is a story in itself. And the three of them, the drama between the three of them was just so intense and so pure. It was so, I felt like I've never seen something like that before. It wasn't since, like, the last time I felt that excited about an ending of a match or the buildup for you know, during a match. It wasn't a great match by any means, but what was Nash and Goldberg when Nash ended the streak.
Yes.
That was like one of those build up moments where I was like, what's going to happen? And then of course they blew the ending, but they blew it all over the place.
Yeah.
I
my moment with the match was that, you know, I put that as my number 2 match of the night. Okay.
Okay.
I did enjoy it a lot. I thought the near falls were perfect. I thought there were plenty of moments where I thought the streak was going to end. I was very surprised by it. I think the one thing that, you know, was just an issue with me was just the whole talking thing. I wasn't expecting a talking during a fight.
But okay, that's the part that I loved about it was that it of course they kind of had to be a little bit loud for the camera, but to see them this time verbal instead of just like last year's match where Triple H dominated Undertaker at the end and was just like, stay down. This time it was, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt you. Sean, end this match because I don't want to hurt. And the same thing with Undertaker. You saw, instead of them mercilessly wanting to beat the shit out of each other, you saw them actually, or mercilessly, they have mercy. And they don't want to end each other because they don't want to end the era. They don't want to put each other through hell and not wrestle again and like go off into the sunset, and they want to be with the company. They want their lives in the ring to continue. And Sean was the instrument in that. Sean was the only one that could ring the bell. And when Taker wasn't answering, you know, when he's asking him the first time, he was ready to ring the bell, and then Taker said, "You're not ending this match." And the same thing with Triple H. Triple H said, "You're not ending this match. He's gonna have to end me." So it was good drama. And then of course, Sean gets the Gogo Plata put on him, or Hell's Gate, and then as sort of like a retaliation, he's later on he super kicks Taker right into a pedigree, and of course Taker kicks out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was awesome. The whole match was awesome. The Hall of Fame ceremony seemed pretty cool. I mean, we saw the recap. I mean, I'm not big about those things. Edge's new haircut was cool. But
the Edge store, I thought the Edge was pretty cool. You know, I mean, whatever. That's my
The
opinion.
Team Johnny versus Team Teddy. This match took place of the Money in the Bank match.
Horrible.
And this match was awful.
Horrible.
It was so boring and unnecessary.
I first thought it was elimination. And then I found out it wasn't.
That's the thing. They never said it was elimination, which makes no sense.
Uh-huh.
This match is the bragging rights pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Which they got rid of.
Yeah.
So they took the bragging rights match, they put it over here, and they gave it a stipulation. That's fine. But don't call it Team Johnny versus Team Teddy. Call it the bragging rights match.
Uh-huh.
That's it. Bragging rights, hooray, and whoever wins gets control of both shows for the year till next WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's a cool gimmick. That would be cool. But it wasn't elimination. There are way too many people in it. What's his name? Great Khali needs to retire.
Honestly,
Team Teddy, which, you know, the face team, they were terrible.
Do you realize?
Terrible
hold
team.
Hold on. My friend said this. He was like, you had a decent team versus... Who the hell are they, team?
Yeah, you had.
What was that team that SmackDown had?
First of all,
they didn't have a team.
They Booker T. Okay, you have Booker T. and Kofi, Zack Ryder, who has no real accomplishments to speak of.
No more.
Kofi Kingston, who's a mid-carter. Mm-hmm. The Great Khali, who's a joke. R-Truth, who's another mid-carter, and Booker T. Who is
where's
a
your
legend,
main event guy?
And then Santino.
Look at Raw.
Look at Raw.
And
look
Raw, at Raw has Mark guys. Henry, Dolph Ziggler, Jack Swagger, The Miz, Drew McIntyre, and of course David Otunga. It was
who,
just
who
ridiculous.
Are guys that are either mid card or they're the top or one of the top guys.
Right.
It's like,
or at least were the top guy.
And the ending was Eve disaster. Getting involved in the match.
Right. That whole match was a vehicle to pull to get Ryder some
storyline.
Some storyline with Eve again. Whatever. I'm horribly disappointed that I have to turn my hearing aid up to hear Laurinaitis on two shows now.
Yep.
Which I guess is better than watching those awkward Oksana Teddy Long backstage segments.
Wait till
then we get an awesome match with CM Punk and Jericho. Now, here's the thing.
I thought this was the match of the night.
Okay.
I really thought.
I was not hot on the beginning of the match with Jericho trying to get Punk disqualified.
Okay.
Because, of course, they added that stipulation, whatever, because Punk's rage, whatever.
Yeah.
Stupid. But after they dropped that gimmick, after Jericho realized, okay, it's not working, I can't get him to disqualify himself, they put on a clinic, an absolute clinic. And when I was watching that with Lane, because at this point I shut off WrestleMania right before the tag match, and I watched the rest of it the next day, and I was watching with Lane, my girlfriend, and I was watching this, I was like, this is a clinic, and she's like, what is that? And I was like, all right, you know how I love Bret Hart, and I speak very highly of everything he does. These two it's like having two Bret Harts in the ring. It's like having Bret Hart versus himself. It was a pure wrestling clinic. It didn't have the crazy drama.
No, it did have moments that was very good.
Yeah, it had good moments, but that's not what it needed. It was wrestling. That was wrestling at its best.
Yes, and I loved the whole match. I loved the ending with the technicality that went on, you know, at the end of trying to do the submission and all that stuff.
Right. And
the only thing I would say, the only thing, which is what I pointed out actually when it was happening, was when CM Punk applied the Anaconda Vice.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I thought he was pinning him.
Well,
because his shoulders
whatever.
Were on the floor. That was the only whatever. Thing. Other than that, it was
matter.
Like, whatever, you know. But other than
the thing that was cool is that, like, every time Jericho put on the Walls of Jericho, like he put it on the old school way.
Yeah.
And it showed you why he doesn't do that anymore, because it's easily reversed. So it makes sense for him to cinch it and do like a regular Boston Crab now. Mm-hmm. It kind of just showed you, like, okay, it's not because he's lazy. It's because wrestling wise, like if this was a real sport,
he can move out of it.
It's easily reversed the old school way. I mean, it looks cool, but it's easily reversed. Brodus Clay had his WrestleMania moment. And moving on, The Rock versus
I just gotta say something.
Okay.
I am very high on Brodus Clay.
I love Brodus Clay.
I think he's great.
But there's
but
no.
But I don't think that was needed.
He's not a good dancer, so I don't even know what they're doing.
I don't know. Why was the Bridge Club there? Please.
It was comedy, and they had a bunch of dancers. Whatever. Notice we're not talking about any of the musical interludes, which we had Sean Diddy, Puffy.
Oh,
Daddy.
No, we don't need to.
Whatever.
We don't need to.
Whatever. So we had the two rap groups there sing a song before each guy came out, in The Rock and John Cena.
Yeah.
Once in a lifetime, this match was hyped very, very.
Very well. It was hyped pretty well.
It was hyped for over a year.
Yes. It deserved it.
So Cena comes out, mostly boos, maybe 30-40% cheers.
Yeah. Which is what I was expecting. I was expecting some sort of crowd there for Cena.
Well, The Rock in his hometown, it went absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
The Rock has some ring rust, and it was interesting to see them wrestle the first like 4 minutes, because they actually like wrestled. They didn't just beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah,
which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Cena did the five knuckle shuffle, got a chant from the crowd that was, and I quote, "same old shit," which made him kind of laugh. You could see he was kind of laughing about that.
Yeah.
There were a lot of false finishes.
Yes, there was.
The Rock.
Cena almost killed The Rock with that leg drop.
Yeah, well, no. I well, He barely touched them.
Yes, that's true.
Which is fine, but he almost sat on his head. If The Rock didn't have the wherewithal to bump the right way, he could have got sat on. But whatever, it's wrestling.
The one thing that I do have to say about the match, which I think some people have been arguing about, is you go out and you're supposed to have this once-in-a-lifetime match.
Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to, you know, put on this clinic. You're supposed to go out there and work so hard. And the way you lose is because you're mocking The Rock.
Yes, but that's setting up his arrogance. That's going to set up.
You think the ending was perfect? You think it sets up a heel turn?
No, it doesn't set up a heel turn. It sets up a humbling. This is going to make Cena say, "You're right. I'm not that good. I'm just not that good. And if I'm going to be the best, I'm going to have to start over. I'm going to have to be the best. I'm going to have to beat everybody. I'm going to have to go to, you know, ground one. I can't be doing the people's elbow just for the people's elbow's sake." Because honestly, that was his way of being schooled. You know what I mean? Like, he was schooled by The Rock the last moment, because that's the one thing that pissed me off about the match.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody, somewhere, I don't care who it is, honestly, I don't, teach The Rock how to do the sharpshooter.
That is horrendous. That is true.
When I do the sharpshooter, I don't do the left leg like Brett does, but I cross the legs the correct way. Mm-hmm. I go with the right leg and I cross it over. It makes it so easy if you do it the right way to hold the leg on your thigh. The Rock just twists the legs awkwardly and kind of holds both feet. He just looks like he's. It looks like it almost looks like, what's Edge's move? The educator, where is it? The submission that he used to do.
Oh God, I forgot.
I forgot what it was called, but it was like that. It was weird. Like you put it like a sharpshooter, and then you like lift and cross, whatever it was. But it looked like a weird combination of that and like Scorpion Deathlock. It was atrocious.
Yeah.
But he had to do it because Cena has the STFU.
Yeah.
Or STF. You know, The Rock sold. I was surprised. Every punch, The Rock sold as if he was getting hit with a cinder block, which was cool. Cena went for the five knuckle shuffle, changed his mind, went for the people's elbow on his, you know, bounce off the ropes. Rock kipped up, boom, hit him with the rock bottom, pinned him 1-2-3. It was like, whoa, did that really just happen? Of course it happened, because it was 10:58 and it was time for the match to end. But yeah, I mean, it happened, and, The Rock posed and, you know, all that stuff. It makes sense that he won for two reasons, because now Cena has character. This is going to build his character. This is going to make him have to learn. This is going to make him have to go to his roots, like I was saying before. And also, it makes sense because The Rock just, you know, signed another year. So with him winning here, it could set up him losing next year.
Yeah, it's true.
So you have that.
So how would you rate WrestleMania?
WrestleMania.
I give it a 7.
Okay. For, I think $65 was.
I only say three matches was worth it.
Yeah. And to me, those three matches were worth $65. I could care less about the rest of the show. Right. I wish we had
a match.
A U.S. title match.
Okay.
I'm a one-on-one kind of guy. I like the one-on-one matches, and then I like the crazy stipulation, crazy hardcore, whatever matches, like the Money in the Bank and stuff like that. But no, I liked.
Steve, this is all I gotta say.
What do you gotta say?
Why can't every WrestleMania be like WrestleMania 17?
17? I don't know.
Why can't WrestleMania be like WrestleMania 17?
I still think that was one of the best.
But
that's what they're kind of doing. They're putting the top guys in two or three matches.
Well, what do you think?
Honestly, though, WrestleMania is a stacked card.
You know what I thought was most exciting about this WrestleMania? Getting ready for WrestleMania 29 in New York.
Right. Hell yeah. Well, New Jersey.
New York, New Jersey. I like how you see the symbol. New York is definitely bigger than the New Jersey symbol.
Right, yeah. If there's anybody that listens to this podcast that wants to buy my WrestleMania ticket for me, please do.
We will email you our address. Yes. Should
check to see if we're... Oh, we are still recording. Good. We didn't break the computer yet. Okay. So Monday Night Raw.
Raw. Okay. The crowd was hot.
That's right. The crowd was hot.
But
But
they were hot for one thing.
Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan.
That's right.
Every time.
The yes chance.
The yes chance. Which we're getting a yes shirt. We are getting a yes shirt.
He wants
this coming Monday, there'll be a yes shirt.
Yes. But The Rock opened the show.
Yes.
Thanked, essentially thanked John Cena for a great match.
Yeah.
So that was, yeah, that was
yeah,
all
right. Yeah. Then,
we had Santino was put in a triple threat by Laurinaitis,
which
against
Ziggler
and Swagger.
I was surprised because you know what? I was not expecting Santino to win. I don't think the crowd was, and it gave a little drama, and I was very happy.
The reason why they're doing this is because they're gonna have Ziggler and Swagger versus each other somewhere down the line soon. Break up that tandem, because if they're not going for tag titles, there's no reason for them to be.
Yeah.
Partners, even if they're in the same stable, there's no reason, because Bobby Heenan, he had a lot of guys that were on the same side, but they weren't best of friends and whatever. Santino won. It was he got a nice pop.
Yep.
We had the debut of Lord Tensai.
Yes, which I don't know if they did. Or maybe they might have.
He mentioned that he was a former WWE superstar that went to Japan and found success.
Okay, so
those were exact words. Yeah. Former WWE superstar went to Japan, found success, and now here he is.
Yep.
We had a small A-Train chant.
Yes.
From the crowd. But he squashed Alex Riley. He looked good. He looked in shape. He's, heavy, but he looked like he was in shape. He looked like he's excited. I don't think it's going to work. I don't think it's going to last. I think he's going to find himself on SmackDown in no time and... Working matches with what's his name there?
Sheamus?
No, the other guy, the turban guy.
Oh, Muhammad Hassan?
No. Yeah, Muhammad Hassan. Yeah, there you go. So then we had a title match.
We had
Punk versus Henry for the title.
Yes.
Out of nowhere, as Laurinaitis was like, okay, I guess Mark Henry's the number one contender. Sure. Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
And these guys had. If this match was the main event of WrestleMania last night, I would have been happy. I would have been just as happy with WrestleMania because these guys put on a fucking awesome match. Awesome match. But, it got ruined.
It got ruined. But we had another Jericho storyline. Again,
yes, Jericho. Well, we knew this wasn't going to end.
Yeah,
but
of course. But with the drinking thing.
Yes, he's pouring. Now he's pouring, what's his name? Jimmy.
Daniels.
What's his name?
Jim Bean?
No, name over there. The Kimmel, whatever. What's it? Kibble? What the hell's his
Jimmy
name?
Kimmel?
No, the guy that the announcer. I forget his name.
Tony Schimmel.
Tony Schimmel took his secret stash of booze and poured it all over Punk.
And he smacked him over the head with the bottle. That broke after.
And Jericho slipped and fell also,
yes.
Which he tweeted later and said, "I didn't slip and fall, you idiots. I was mimicking Punk being drunk," which is, of course, Jericho blatantly lying just to get a laugh.
Exactly.
We had Kofi Kingston, Cody Rhodes.
Who cares?
I
did not care for this match. There was no point for this
match. It was all right. I don't even know who won. I guess Kofi won. Yeah.
Yeah, Kofi won.
The Miz, Zack Ryder.
Why did that match happen? Just because of what happened on WrestleMania?
It was basically a WrestleMania rematch of just the guys
Eve
who were involved
out,
in the pin.
It was like, whatever.
Right. And at WrestleMania, Eve gave Zack Ryder a nice ball kick,
yes,
which was awesome.
Who cares?
So
then we get to
Cena came out.
The Cena.
He was getting, you're a loser chance, blah, blah,
you're
blah.
You're a loser, yes chance, when he said, thank you, that's for you, Daniel Bryan, all this stuff.
Right,
he gets a little cheer for that. Yay!
Yay,
yeah,
hooray.
Yeah.
Then he wants
Lesnar chance coming on.
Yeah,
which
but whatever.
Is like,
I mean, yeah, of course you want Lesnar, he's going to come back.
Then he does. He does.
Cena says, he just wants 1 second to acknowledge The Rock as the better man and would like to congratulate him on his victory. Mm-hmm. And then he stalls.
Yep.
And then he stalls.
Stalls.
And then
he stalls.
Brock is back.
Brock is back.
Looking as beastly as ever.
Yep.
Lesnar takes his sweet time getting to the ring.
Yep.
Goes to shake Cena's hand. Cena shakes the hand, brings him in. Boom. Throws. I was like, Lane, how much do you think Cena weighs? He's like, I don't know, 230, 235. I was like, watch this. And when he threw Cena like he was a piece of paper,
yeah,
I was like, that's why Brock Lesnar's awesome. Because he probably throws 500 pounds.
Yep.
On his daily workout. Mm-hmm. He's a beast. And I'm very, very excited for Brock Lesnar to be back.
You see, all my friends are excited for Brock Lesnar to be back. Everyone I know is excited for Brock Lesnar to be back. I'm not as excited as I want to be. And I'll tell you why. Because, personally, I don't see a point with him being there.
Why?
I think
they need all the top-level talent they could get.
But Brock Lesnar's not... I don't think he's talented.
Are you kidding me?
I'm serious. All right.
All right. You need to go back. You need to watch him versus Kurt Angle. You have to watch him versus Undertaker.
Kurt Angle. Yes. That was a listen, let me tell you something. The only reason why that got such a high match was because he decided to do an F5 that was a botch. It's the only reason why that got a big pop.
It was brilliant.
Match. Okay. That's the first thing.
Hang on.
Second off.
Continue. I just got to go in the other room for a second.
I personally do not feel that this guy, okay? You know, Brock Lesnar, I always say this, reminds me of Goldberg. Always did. But personally, I felt Goldberg was better than Brock Lesnar. Always has, always will. And Brock Lesnar, to me, is just... he reminds me of Sheamus. Okay? He reminds me of Sheamus.
You remind me of an idiot.
Get the hell out of here, buddy.
You remind me of a damn fool.
I really am not that... like uber excited over Brock Lesnar.
Anybody that uses the word uber is a damn fool.
I'm sorry. Well, screw you. Because listen, I'm not going to be here so freaking excited over Brock Lesnar. I'm being truthful with you people. Okay. You want an honest opinion from someone, you know, you're going to get it from me because I'm not that excited for this guy. You're back. You're back for one year. Who cares? You're not going to do anything that's going to make me go, oh, I'm excited. I'm sorry. That's it.
Okay. Well, you'll see because he's very good.
What we got?
Hang on one second.
Okay.
I'm going to have a little contest.
Okay.
We're going to give an undisclosed prize to the person who wins the contest.
Okay.
Let's see. Hang on. Stall for a second.
Stall for a second. Okay. Well, just letting everyone know, I can do my TNA in a moment for while Steve is going on right now. So as we all know, I devote my time to TNA during this lovely segment to just speak about them, to give my honest opinion of what I think of TNA. So a lot of time has passed since we haven't been on, and as you could tell, I have an honest opinion of what I think of TNA right now.
As you can tell. I don't know how you could tell that Mike has an honest opinion about TNA, but he does.
But I do. So, TNA, in a moment, sponsored by Flip Flops, but you never know if the guy is a good guy or a bad guy. You never know.
Hulk Hogan.
So, TNA in a moment. Who cares?
All right. And moving on to our contest.
I'll be honest, people. Next week, I will be watching it. I will put my effort in.
Who cares? I don't know.
I will put my... Actually, I will throw out one thing. One thing. As we all know, Abyss is not on TV right now. However, his brother is on TV right now.
Is this his brother from another mother?
No. This is his brother is looking for Abyss. Who is this guy? Abyss. Abyss is actually playing a real person right now, but he's looking for Abyss. So he's playing the brother of Abyss. Now, you would think that it's really hard to do that because Abyss doesn't have any teeth. No. You know, he got his two front teeth knocked out from Rob Van Dam about a year and a half ago.
Okay.
Well, this guy actually has teeth. He's wearing dentures to cover that. And I actually saw that segment like a couple days ago. I was like, oh, look at this. He's got his teeth like, you know, blocking it.
Interesting.
So he's doing it well. But it is Abyss. I hope all of you know that.
Okay. Anyway.
Yes.
So we're going to do a little contest here. It's Guess the Tune. I'm going to play 2 seconds of a song.
Okay.
2 seconds of a wrestling theme song. Just a random one that I picked on my little playlist here. 2 seconds you're getting. You're getting from, I'm not going to tell you where I started, but here we go. That's it. That's all you're getting. I hope that was loud enough. Let me put it back. I'm going to put it back to 34 seconds.
Okay.
I'm going to play it one more time. That's it.
Okay.
That's all you're getting.
Okay.
If you could correctly guess the wrestler, the superstar, whose song that is, You will get a prize, an undisclosed prize. And it has to, we're going to, anybody who guesses correctly will then will be put into a hat,
uh-huh.
and we're going to draw the one winner.
Yes.
And if Bryce Bacon happens to be the only one, so be it.
Bryce, we miss you.
Mr. Bacon, I told him about 7 to 15 times that we were going to be recording a podcast soon over the past 8 months. So here we are. We're back. Another thing that I would like to throw out there into the interwebs. If Mike and I, the reason why we haven't done many podcasts, because Mike and I can't really get together that often. So if you would like a solo version of the show on weeks that can't happen, write in. Let me know if that's all right with you. You could tweet us at Big Splash Cast. Our email is bigsplashpodcast@gmail.com. You could use that to enter into our little contest. You could also write any questions, comments, anything you like. If you want that, you know, that's the easiest way you could be part of the show. Well, if you want to be anonymous, just let us know. I have WWE 12 on PlayStation 3. If you would like to play together, send Big Splash a tweet. And I'll give you my username, and we could join up on the PlayStation
Network.
And
I have it also, so you could play me. All right, as well.
So you could just send us an email, and we'll give you our information.
Yep.
Our PSN name.
Mm-hmm.
And we could play. We do not play on Xbox. I don't know. I don't really have an Xbox anymore because I don't have the interwebs on it. Yes, I don't have my live account anymore because it's a waste of money.
Exactly.
So you got SmackDown tonight, which probably I'm going to edit this real quick. So this will be up before SmackDown. So we're not going to talk about SmackDown.
All right. So
we'll start with SmackDown because honestly, talking about the leading up to WrestleMania.
I'm gonna let you know.
No, I don't want to know nothing.
You don't want to know?
I don't want to know nothing.
No. I gotta mention one thing.
I don't want nothing.
I gotta say it.
Okay, folks. If you don't want to know, skip ahead 30 seconds from now. Go.
Okay, we are gonna get a return tonight.
Oh, return.
A big return.
Big return.
I am so happy.
Is it a tax return?
No.
Is it the Boogeyman?
No.
Is it Dave Bautista?
No.
Good. Then I'm happy. I don't care who it is.
You should be happy.
All right. I'm ecstatic.
Someone from NXT.
Oh, God.
Season 1.
Oh, yeah. I heard about this.
Okay.
I heard about this.
All right.
All right. We're 30 seconds. Okay. All right. So, yeah, it's not really that big of a deal.
Wow.
But yeah, that's good. So of course we used to have other segments that we're gonna get back to doing. You can visit our website that hasn't been updated since I think the Royal Rumble.
Yes.
No, it was the first Raw of 2012.
Yes.
We'll be writing more stuff for that. I've been writing a little bit for a video game website called GamesAbyss.com. If you want to look at my writing there.
Yeah.
The website will be updated.
And big news, just letting everyone know, I will be doing a film in the next week.
Oh, okay.
So
look at this.
And then it'll be shown at my college.
Actually, you know what? Speaking of film, hang on a second, because
what?
My film that I did last year is now on sale.
It is.
It is.
Ah.
So let me just find that website where you could purchase said film.
And then you can actually see what Steve looks like.
That's right.
Yes.
And you could see what I look like.
Yes. Well, not exactly, because he has cut his hair.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. and I lost a few pounds.
Yes, you did.
I will also be returning to the ring soon.
Yes. So hopefully we can also
I'll be having a match soon.
Yes, I see actually his wrestling attire.
Yes, my attire is being aired out. I am, let's see. It's, the name of the film is Stuck in the Middle.
Okay.
You could get it at createspace.com. And it's www.createspace.com/336995. That'll bring you right to the page where you could buy it. That's createspace.com/336995. It's like $12. So if you want to support me and all that stuff, you could do that.
Ooh.
So that's all I have to say.
I Mike. Think I'm good also.
All right, so this has been the return podcast of Big Splash WrestleCast.
Yes.
I'm Steve Fontana.
And I'm Mike Capizzo.
And you keep reaching for the belts.